Good morning. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. At the age of 23, Second Lieutenant Carl Marlinus was in charge of 40 Marines during his intense battle in the Vietnam War. Marlinus had moved his men into the jungle as they waited for U.S. jets to bomb a hill that North Vietnamese soldiers had overtaken. Unfortunately, the jets came and dropped their bombs on the wrong hill. So, when Marlinus led his men out of the jungle, they were instantly under fire from untouched machine gun position. Marlinus knew it would only take a few minutes before the enemy rockets and mortars found his troops. The entire mission ground to a halt as the U.S. soldiers ducked behind downed trees and huddled in shell holes. Marlinus knew what he had to do next. This is what he writes. If I didn't get up and lead, we'd get wiped out. I did a lot of things that day, but the one thing I did I'm most proud of is that I simply stood up in the middle of that flying metal and started up the hill. I simply ran forward up the steep hill, zigzagging for the bunker all by myself, hoping my soldiers wouldn't hit me in the back. It was hard to zigzag while running uphill, loaded down with ammunition and grenades. But then, in the midst of his solo charge up the hill to take out the enemy, Marlinus suddenly saw some movement in his peripheral vision. It was a Marine. He was about 15 meters below him, zigzagging, falling up and down, and running again. Immediately behind him, a long, ragged line of Marines came moving and weaving up the hill behind me. Behind the line were spots of crumbled bodies lying where they had been hit. They had all come with me. Everyone was intermingled, weaving, rushing, and covering, taking on each hole and bunker one at a time in groups. We, the group, just rushed forward all at once. We couldn't be stopped. Just individuals among us were stopped, but we couldn't be. It was we, no longer me. Now, as Christians, we are called to follow Jesus in every way, when that way we might not understand. As these Marines followed Marlinus up that hill, think about that. If he hadn't had that leadership to lead them up that hill, they would all perish. They would have all died. But as it is pertinent for Christians also to follow Jesus, because if we don't follow Jesus, we'll go the wrong way. We will not stay on that path of righteousness. As we begin our new sermon series for February, Discovering Jesus, Embracing His Way, today's message is going to be Following His Steps. Following in Jesus' steps. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 20 through 25. For what glory is it if, when ye buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, who, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you, Lord, for being with us today, and your spirit is moving in this place. We thank you, Lord, for always watching over us and taking care of us. We pray, Father, for those that are sick, those in the hospitals and nursing homes, those that are homebound. We pray, God, that you would touch them today, heal their bodies, and restore their health. Lord, we pray, God, that you would move in this message, take it and use it for your honor and your glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at a few examples Jesus set for us that he wants us to follow. Number one, follow Jesus in loving. That is hard to do many times. It's hard to love those who don't know Jesus. It's hard to follow and love those that don't adhere to his word. It's hard to follow our enemies and love them. If Jesus is known for anything, it is for his love. Even non-Christian world recognizes this fact. While sometimes they misinterpret what his love was really all about, they still recognize that it is an eternal and essential part of his being. Who can deny that one who came from heaven and voluntarily offered his life for ours as a sacrifice is one who understands love for others at the level none of us can even comprehend? Jesus came from heaven. He came from glory down to this earth, born of a virgin, and lived a sinful life, a sinless life. Listen to me, my friend. Jesus went to the cross for you. There's no one in this room and in this congregation that can even comprehend the love it took for Jesus to go to that cross and die for a sinful nation. All of us don't understand what it means to realize that Christ came to save the world from our sins. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And listen, my friend, no one can comprehend his love that he showed on that day. And yet, he is the one that calls all Christians to demonstrate that same level of love for each other. The Bible says, "A new commandment I've give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." I want to tell you, none of us have that love. None of us can show that love that Jesus showed. But we can try our best to love our enemies, love our friends, love those that don't love us, love those people that hate us, love everyone in this world. I want you to notice three things about this verse I just read. Jesus isn't asking us to do this. It is a command he's giving us. The command to love one another is repeated for emphasis. Notice what he said. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also will love one another. Notice he mentions that twice in this verse. Jesus said, love one another. Love those that hate you. Love those that despise you. Love those that do not deserve love. Listen, the command to love one another is a command straight from God. The love we are to show to one another is to be the same love as that Jesus has demonstrated towards us. As Jesus loved us, we should love others that much. This is a level of love that calls for personal sacrifice, putting the other person first and living a life focused on love at all times. In other words, this isn't going to happen by accident. It is something that must be personally emphasized and embraced. Jesus said this in John 13, verse 35. He said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Notice that. We should become disciples of Christ by loving one another. That is something we need to work on in our lives today. We need to love our neighbors, love our friends, love our enemies, love everyone around us. Listen, Jesus follows up his command by explaining the purpose of it. He not only wants us to follow his example, he wants us to do it precisely as demonstrated to the world that we are his followers. People who truly follow Jesus act like Jesus does. It is impossible to be a true disciple of Christ, yet at the same time live a life that does not resemble his life. We are talking about perfection here. That is what we will attain. We will not be perfect until we get to heaven. We're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about following Jesus' step the best we can. Be a constant attempt to live, think, and act like our Master, that Jesus has set us an example to follow. Jesus set an example for love when he went to the cross. He set an example for love when he taught those and he touched those that were sick, and he touched those that were lame, and he touched those that were hurting. Jesus exemplified what it means to love, and he taught us to love the same. We need to love everyone. Secondly, we need to follow Jesus in welcoming those into our family. We often focus on how we need to be welcoming to those outside the fellowship of Christ, and that is a good thing. The Bible stresses that in our outreach to those we don't know Christ, that we need to be inviting, courteous, and treat them as we want them to be treated. But we are also to be welcoming to those who are already in the household of faith. Romans 15, verse 7 says this, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Notice that verse in Romans 15, 7. Christ says, through the Apostle Paul, he said, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, this is something that takes a lot of work. This is something that takes a lot of anticipation and a lot of stress. We need to realize that we need to receive everyone into our church. Receive everyone. Doesn't matter where they're from. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what the situation they're in. We need to be welcoming to those that come into our fellowship. How are we to welcome each other as Christ welcomed us? And how has Christ welcomed us? He has welcomed us with open arms into His family. He has taken us in no matter what condition we happen to be in, and when we met us in the realm that we were living in that day. Christ welcomed us into His family. Do you realize when you came to Christ, you were a sinner, but He welcomed you into His family. He welcomed you into His family. Think about that. Christ set us an example. He has forgiven us, embraced us, and made us an integral part of His family. Can we do any less for our brothers and sisters in Christ as well as the lost of this world? Matthew, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus gives a speech there. And He taught His disciples what it meant to love everyone and welcome them into the family. Notice Matthew 25, verse 35. Matthew 25, verse 35. Jesus says this, "For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee a sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Think about that. Jesus gives us an example. He said, "If I'm in prison, you came and visited me. When I was sick, you prayed for me and you came and visited me. When I was alone, you didn't leave me alone. When I was hungered, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger and felt like a stranger and felt like an outcast, you accepted me into your family." That's what we need to do. The Church of Jesus Christ has been designated to be the one place on earth where we know that we will be accepted, welcomed, and encouraged along life's journey, no matter where that happens to take us. It is the church that our needs are met. It is in the church our desires are fulfilled. It is in the church our spiritual longings are met with words and deeds that match the commitment we have made to Jesus. Or at least, that is the way it should be. And it can be that way if we will each take the admonition of Jesus' words as well as His example seriously. It is time to drop the pretense and start becoming the person who welcomes his brothers and sisters with open arms into our church. Jesus says that when we do this to the least of these, it is as if we have done it unto Him. Thirdly, we need to follow Jesus in our forgiving. Back in the days when everyone used typewriters, there was a little thing called whiteout. Whiteout dates to 1966, when the insurance company clerk named George Kalopoulos teamed with a guy who waterproofed basements to develop their own collection fluid. They originally called it Whiteout WO1 erasing fluid. You can still buy the product. Whiteout isn't perfect, though. If you made a mistake on a typewriter, you'd have to take a paper out and get it raised up a little bit and then dab it with whiteout. Paint over the mistakes and then blow on it and let it dry. Then you could type right over it if the mistake had never had been made initially. When electric typewriters came along, some genius invented something even better than whiteout. He invented the self-correcting typewriter. Now, wouldn't it be great if someday, in some way, down the road, somebody would invent self-correcting people? Wouldn't it be cool if there was a self-correcting husband and a self-correcting wife? Wouldn't that be so good if there was a self-correcting person who would say the wrong thing and just back up and say it over again? You know, you're just like your mother. Oops, let's just erase that and start over. Wouldn't it be great if your spouse or friend or parent or child came with self-correcting technology? But the human race isn't self-correcting. In fact, we're self-destructing. But in His grace, God gave us one of His most amazing inventions, the gift of forgiveness. In a way, is the most powerful than whiteout. At the cross, Jesus not only covered our sins, He also abolished them, paid the penalty for them, removes them as far as the east is from the west. Think about that. Jesus died on the cross, forgave us of our sins, took that penalty completely away from us, and He moved our sins as far as the east is from the west. Think about that. Jesus corrected the mistake of our birth. Now, I'm not saying you were a mistake when you were born. I'm saying that we were all born sinners. We were all born sinners in this world. Jesus came and corrected that. He paid the price. He paid the penalty so that you could become a righteous person. So that you could become a more godly person. Listen, my friend. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 say this. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Many people today hold grudges. Many people today get mad. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, forgive them as I forgive you. Forgive them as I forgave you on the cross. Forgive them of their mistakes. Listen, when I was married, before my wife passed away, we had a close relationship, closer than most marriages. And I told her one thing when we first got married. I told her this, if I make a mistake, you let me know about it. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness. And we still did that the time she was in the hospital. When I made a mistake, she forgave me of it. And I forgave her. That's what we need to do. We need to practice forgiveness. The funny thing about this is that we cannot be compelled to forgive another person. What we need is to have the kind of heart that desires to offer forgiveness. We've all seen little kids when they're told to apologize to their brothers and sisters for something they have done. They begrudgingly say, I'm sorry. But the look on their face doesn't look like they're sorry at all. Think about that. Think about when your kid done something wrong and you told them to forgive and you told them to ask for forgiveness and you told them, when they said, I'm sorry, they didn't look sorry. They had this look on their face that they didn't look sorry, but they were sorry. Sometimes we're like that in our forgiveness. We say, I forgive you, but in our hearts we know we are only going through the motions because we know that it is what we ought to do. But the longer we walk with Jesus and learn to think like Him and adopt His compassion, the easier it will be to not only offer forgiveness, but to do so with a willing heart. Jesus was all about forgiveness. Jesus was all about forgiving people. Is there someone in your life you need to forgive today? Is there someone that has hurt you? Someone that has done something wrong to you? Go to them. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive them for the mistakes they've made. Listen, is there somebody in your family, somebody in the church, a longtime friend? Don't delay. Offer to them the same way Jesus has offered forgiveness to you. Listen, my friend, Jesus wants us to forgive. These three things, listen, if we'll follow these steps that I've given you today, we'll be much more like Jesus. We'll be much more like Him, and we'll walk with Him. We'll see the results of our walking with Him. Listen, my friend, this is what we need to do. We need to be more in tune with Jesus. I'll go over these three steps once more for you. Follow Jesus in our loving. Follow Jesus in our welcoming. And follow Jesus in our forgiveness. Those three things we need to do as Christians. We need to follow Him in every way. But in these three ways, we can start out with. Follow Jesus in your loving. Follow Jesus in your welcoming. Follow Jesus in your forgiveness. Follow Him and learn from Him. Think about what Jesus did for you on the cross. Think about what He did, the price He paid, and that will show you love. Think about the forgiveness He showed to those that ridiculed Him. What did He say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. Jesus hung on that cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They knew exactly what they did. They knew exactly how they sent Him to the cross. They knew exactly how they nailed the spikes in His hands and His feet. But Jesus said they didn't know what they were doing. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, we need to be forgiving as Jesus did. In conclusion, following the examples of Jesus isn't easy, but it is doable. How do I know that? Because God never asks us to do anything that He doesn't give us the ability to accomplish. And He has clearly asked us to follow the example of His Son in our lives. Rather than focus on what we can't do, isn't it time we focus on what we can accomplish? What about it right now? At this very moment, we each commit ourselves to follow Jesus' example in the way we love, the way we welcome, and the way we forgive. Those three things alone will be enough to change the course of your life and benefit everyone around you. Let's start following Jesus' example today. Listen. Go to that person that has offended you. Go to that person that has done you wrong. Go to that person and ask them for forgiveness. Go to that person and forgive them. Love them. Welcome them into our fellowship. Welcome them to come to our church. Welcome them. Listen, we need to follow Jesus' example because Jesus was the one that did everything perfect. He never made a mistake. He never sinned. If Jesus was able to love those that persecuted Him, that did Him wrong, that crucified him, surely we can forgive those that have done us wrong. Surely we can forgive those. We can love them. We can welcome them. Listen, my friend, we need to be welcoming, love those, and forgive those in this life. That is what Christ has called us to do. He's called us to be more like Him. And to be more like Him, we need to take on the personality that Jesus showed. What was the personality that Jesus showed? He was loving. He loved everyone. He even loved the sinners. Think about this. Where did Jesus spend most of His time? With sinners. He didn't spend most of His time with the elite, with the religious elite. He spent most of His time with sinners like you and me. That is what Jesus did. He showed His love to everyone. And what He calls us to do, He says, by this shall you know your disciples if you love one another. By this shall they know you're my disciples. If you show them the love that I've shown you on the cross. Listen, my friend, Jesus calls all of us to be more than we were born to be. He calls us to be transformed into His image. He calls us to be transformed into His likeness. He calls us to be transformed into what He desires us to be. And what does He desire us to be? More like Him. He wants us to be more like Him. To be more like Him is to be more loving, to be more welcoming, and to be more forgiving. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus, who set our example for us to live. We thank You, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to serve You in this life. And we pray, God, that You would help us take Your Word today and how You have lived and how You have set an example for us, and we might follow that example in our daily lives. Lord, help us as we go through our invitation. If anyone here does not know You as Lord and Savior, Lord, help them to come to You today. Help them to come to You and accept the sacrifice that You made on Calvary. And if there's anyone here, any Christian that has gotten away from You and needs a closer walk with You, we pray, God, that You would help them come and desire a closer walk with You today. Lord, help us as we go through our time of invitation that You might have full control and Your Holy Spirit might have full reign in our lives. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.